I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. You have any recent expectations of Jesus? Is he living up to them? Don't you just hate it when Jesus disappoints you? Well, deal with it. He disappoints people a lot. It's true. Jesus can be very disappointing because, well, you know what? I'll let him tell you in his own words. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, which we can fix by making our way through his word. But neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Turns out, it's literally my way or the highway. You see, not only are his ways perfect, but he's just stubbornly opposed to compromising our eternal best, especially for temporary relief down here. And especially since proper disciplinary pain, well, brings growth and gain. Yeah. So what are we to do? Well, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. In fact, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline. Do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke because, well, the Lord disciplines those he loves. We are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned. You see, disappointment and discipline go hand in hand. And one of the big eternal reasons for that is because we can't learn to trust Dad without being disappointed. My favorite hidden story in the Gospels and Acts is about the disappointment of Jesus' appointment of Judas. And it begins on a hillside above the Sea of Galilee. You see, Jesus spent the night praying to God. That is some serious praying because this is some serious decision making. When morning came, he called his disciples to him. Okay, now Luke later describes this group as a great multitude of disciples. So he called this great multitude of disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, then James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and everyone's like, I think at that moment, everyone's like, whew, for a second there, I thought he was going to say Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. You see, everyone who knew Jesus' last pick there must have been like, he gets a rose? What? Why is the biggest jerk always get the last rose? It was no secret that Judas could be a real jerk. Remember when he threw a tantrum and yelled at a woman for anointing Jesus at a dinner in Jesus' honor at which Judas was a guest? Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Now, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. You see, as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And for some reason, Jesus put up with it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. You see, you cannot hide that kind of selfish nature. So imagine the second guessing and whispering going on back on that hillside when Jesus announced his last pick, especially when there was literally a multitude to choose from, and one standout in particular, who had every right to be very hopeful, if not confident, that Jesus would announce his name. But he didn't. But I'll just let you in on a secret here. Judas was a placeholder. And Peter wasn't picked first. So imagine this disappointed, if not devastated, utterly deserving disciple waiting in vain to hear his name. How could he have possibly imagined that he's the one who is specifically, prophetically referred to in Psalm 69:25 and 109:8? Yeah, we'll look at it later. Yet, despite his disappointment at the dis of this appointment, he remains true to the bitter end, which is, of course, why he's the one foretold to come. His name's Matt. And you know what he's got? Matt's got heart. Matt's got passion. Matt's got devotion. All night long, Jesus considers prayerfully his large crowd of followers looking for those three things: heart, passion, devotion. So, would you have been chosen? Would I? All night, he's determining who has the determination to carry on when he's gone. And most importantly, who will remain true when he sorely disappoints them, when they realize that he's not going to overthrow the Romans or reinstate the Jewish nation, or there are other many assumptions about what the Messiah would do. Who will remain true? Will you? He needs 11 who will, despite great disappointment, and one who won't, because he's foretold too. And back when Jesus is baptized, Matt's right there, unsung, unmentioned, and completely unaware. But wherever Jesus can be found, this unassuming disciple is serving from the sidelines. In fact, remember when the 12 woke Jesus in the boat on the Sea of Galilee during the storm? Remember, "Don't you care? Don't you care about us?" Well, Mark says other little boats were also with him. So when Jesus calmed the winds and the waves and utterly amazed the terrified 12, Matt was there. He just had to sit at the kid's boat. He's in the shadows in every story involving Jesus and the 12. Seriously, I'm not making this up. I'll prove it by the end. And maybe most importantly, he's at that Capernaum synagogue when Jesus, after sending out 70 more who swore their allegiance, had to give his great, them and everyone else, this great multitude of disciples, a dose of reality. And he didn't mince his disappointing words. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Well, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "That's a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Well, Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You see, it's all about expectations versus aspirations. It is good to aspire to achieve or accomplish or produce something. It's not so good to expect it to turn out the way you expect it to turn out, especially when it comes to people. You see, aspirations, aspiring to something, aspirations can rise above disappointment. We'll go at it another direction. But disappointment itself drowns expectations dead. "That's not what I thought was going to happen." Yeah, Jesus chose 11 young men with aspirations and one with expectations. So I'll ask again. What are your expectations of Jesus? Know the biggest difference between aspirations and expectations? White knuckles. Holding on too tight. Here, you should do that. You should make your knuckles white and look at them. You know what you can't do with white knuckles? Open up to receive something. Especially if it's something unexpected. So deal with it and stop expecting and start aspiring. Heart, passion, devotion. In moments of great disappointment, we will either call God's faithfulness into doubt or double down on our own faithfulness that He is always good and His ways are always right. And when the dust settled from the stampede out of the synagogue back in Capernaum, there weren't that many left. And so pick up the story. Jesus said, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Asking the 12 there. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And right there, somewhere out of the limelight, Matt said, "Me too. Me too." And meant it with all his heart. Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Which could sound to Matt a lot like, "I have not chosen you as one of the 12. But watch what Jesus says. "Yet one of you is a devil." Huh? Oh, he meant Judas, John tells us, just so you know. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, temporarily, was later to betray him. You see, Jesus had indeed chosen his tried and true 12. He just hadn't told anyone who his last, or rather first, choice had been. So when he proclaims his pride and his pick, I'll bet he had his eye on the one and only seemingly unchosen guy standing just outside the story, being tried like no other on Jesus' first string. And there's no way Matt would have had ears to hear what Jesus really just said. "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." So who's he referring to as his chosen 12? I mean, since he, you know, had known from the beginning. Well, after his resurrection, his chosen replacement is one who'd been with him from the beginning, we're told, of John's baptism. Matt was faithful from the beginning to the end, through thick and thin, through Jesus' betrayal and trial and Judas Iscariot's suicide and Christ's crucifixion. And of course, the unimaginable disappointment of Saturday morning after Jesus' death the night before. But on Sunday night, Mark says, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them now for their lack of faith, their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him, the women, you know, who had seen him. But hold up here. Does this seem right to you? Does everything seem right there in that story? 11? Jesus appeared to the 11. First time. Obviously, Judas wasn't there, right? He's gone. And who else is missing? Doubting Thomas wasn't there. Because when he hears about it, he doubted. That's how he got his name, Thomas. Well, what critics call a contradiction, Christ calls concealed. Just before Jesus appeared, the two on the road to Emmaus returned to that upper room with an eyewitness account of their own. And it says, and they found the 11. Well, there's the 11 again. You know, but boy, I'll tell you, Judas isn't there, neither is Thomas. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon, as in Peter. Can you imagine the emotional roller coaster these guys are on? Thursday, he's the Son of the Living God. Friday, he's dead and buried. Saturday, they're mourning. Sunday morning, his body's missing. Sunday night, he's back, alive, and they're stunned, and stupefied, and terrified, and overjoyed, and rebuked, you know, disciplined, and enlightened, and led out to watch him ascend into heaven. Ever feel tossed about despite being grounded in Christ? Well, whether it's Saturday morning or stunned day night, hang on for your life, because what we lack in the highs, we learn in the lows. And as the pain lessens and goes, we get to keep those lessons forever. If we learned them. So, what did Jesus and Peter talk about? I mean, besides, you know, Peter's regret and repentance for denying Jesus those three times. We have to assume that was brought up. But thanks to Luke, we know one of the subjects that was covered. He writes, in those days, and when he says in those days, he's referring to after Jesus' ascension, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. And Peter said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas. In the book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 25, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. That seems funny. May his place be deserted and no one dwell in it. Well, it has been, but December 6th, we're coming back. And Psalm 109:8. May another take his place of leadership. You know, that is pretty astute for old Peter. You know, just coming up with these prophetic scriptures that have to be. I'm guessing he had some instruction and direction from Jesus. He said, therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Okay, guys who've been with them since the beginning, every time Jesus came in and out among them, begin from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, you know, on the night he appeared to his 11. Not Judas, not Thomas. That leaves 10. Who's your 11th? Peter says, for one of these two must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias, you know, also known as Matt. That's just me, though. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us, now listen carefully, show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs, where the goblins go, below. Then they cast lots. That is an Old Testament practice of writing options on little stones and putting them in a jar or bag or something, and then casting them in your lap. And you just try to get one to come out, and that allows the Lord to make the decision. And the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Now that 11 includes Thomas, because that was, you know, the 12 minus Judas. So he was added to the 11. And so, even though Jesus had his 11th man present that night, he had only revealed that it was one of these two. Afterwards, well, they had to cast lots to reveal Jesus' will. But why? I mean, think of, why not just tell Peter? He met him before this. Why not just tell Peter? Right, what do you do? Just say, okay, it's between these two guys, so make sure they're both there. Yes, that's apparently what he did. Why didn't he just tell Peter which one he chose? Why put the poor runner-up through this process? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they needed to cast lots. Know how we know? Jesus made them cast lots. And there needed to be a minimum of two to cast lots to do it. That's why they had to have two, but it's why they have to, why they cast lots. Really? Just roll the dice? That's how we do? No, that's not how we do. That's how they did in the Old Testament. You see, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And that word there, that name for the Lord, is Yahweh, the highest personal divine name of the Old Testament God of Israel. Like in 1 Kings 8:39, where it says, O Lord, Yahweh, deal with each man according to all he does, since you, Yahweh, know his heart. For you, Yahweh, alone, you alone, know the hearts of all men. And what'd they pray to Jesus when they cast those lots? Lord, you know everyone's heart. Some commentators question the disciples casting lots. Wow, do they miss what's going on? This Old Testament method was established and instructed by Yahweh himself and employed sparingly by his priests. And the last casting of lots, the system used exclusively by Yahweh to reveal his will, is used by Jesus to reveal his will. A week later, Jesus appears to his 12 and breathes his Holy Spirit into them, thus ending the need for conveying Yahweh's thoughts through lots. Yahtzee! I would love to know what Jesus had to say to Matt at that meeting. I mean, they had to talk. I mean, Matt's the guy in Psalms. I imagine Jesus, not these words, but communicating something to the effect of, you know you were my first choice, right? You get that, right? I knew it when I had King David write about it. And ready for a mind blower, Matt? You grew up reading about you right now. I knew who you'd be. And I knew I'd have to choose a Judas. And I was confident that you could take the disappointment. Well done. You see, even when you have heart, passion, and devotion, Jesus will disappoint you because his ways are just higher and greater and far more eternal. So stop expecting the Lord to follow your ways. Loosen your grip, open up, double down and deal with it, and receive whatever unexpected twists and turns he has in store for your story. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and adore you and loosen our grip to receive from you with humble submission whatever correction and direction you know we need. Holy Spirit, compel us to double down on faith and trust with each disappointment that we face. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for remaining so absolutely stubbornly opposed to compromising our eternal best for temporary relief down here. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.